Far above Cayuga's waters, we're back for another edition. A lot of basketball to talk about, Joel. I'm Milan Chatterjee.
And I'm Joel Wald. And Milan, I was tired of you being the classy one on the show all the time, so I had to one-up you with the suit today.
I don't know if that counts because this is a Canali shirt, so I don't know if that's one-up, but you do get points for the effort. But as far as basketball is concerned, college basketball, NBA, so much stuff to talk about. But first, we want to start out with a couple of shout-outs to our own Cornell faithful. Congrats to Cornell basketball. Three straight times, like Jordan, they pulled off the three-peat, won the Ivy League crown, and hats off to them for that, and hopefully more to come because the tournament's coming up.
Yep, congrats to the men's basketball team, and congrats to a team that really doesn't get enough recognition at this school, the women's synchronized skating team. They're right now competing in nationals in Minnesota. We wish them the best of luck. And Milan, I know I got my subscription to icenetwork.com last night.
Yeah, I'm going to sign up myself, actually. But after this, because we have so much to talk about right now, let's get right to business right away. College basketball, NBA. But first, in the NBA, a huge acquisition. We haven't gotten to this yet. It's Antoine Jameson going to Cleveland. How does this sway the power in the East and maybe in the entire NBA? The Cavs have been hands down the best team in the Eastern Conference all year. They're pulling away. But now, as far as their competition, maybe coming from the West, maybe in a team in the Los Angeles Lakers, a team that you still think is superior to Cleveland.
Yeah, I mean, if your question is, with the acquisition of Antoine Jameson, are the Cavs now the best team in the league? My answer is point blank, no. Like you said, the Lakers are still this team that, you know, they're the defending NBA champions. They're the number one seed in the Western Conference. And they've got this guy, Kobe Bryant, who's pretty good. He's the fourth quarter assassin. He's the smartest player in all of basketball. And the Lakers are so good, Milan, that they've showed they can actually win games without Kobe Bryant. They were 4-1 in that brief stint without him. But let's not kid ourselves. It all starts with Bryant. More on him later. Let's talk about some of the other guys they have, because Pau Gasol is a great all-star center. We talked about him a little last week. Really compliments Kobe Bryant. Andrew Bynum is an up-and-coming star in this league, a double-double monster, and he's finally staying healthy, which is just huge for the Lakers. I mean, then they got the versatile Lamar Odom, so I mean, you're talking about a front court that is just monstrous. And then the last guy you can't forget is Ron Artest. So, I mean, if we want to talk about the Antoine Jameson trade, you look at Cleveland, and LA was better than Cleveland last year. So let's be logical about this. Cleveland brings in Antoine Jameson. The Lakers bring in Ron Artest in the offseason. Guys that are, you know, obviously different sort of players, but I'd say about the same skill level. So logically, how are the Lakers not still better? I mean, they're definitely the team to beat. And, you know, LeBron James is as unguardable as anything there is in the league. But when you look at who the Lakers have to throw at him, between a Kobe Bryant, a Ron Artest, even a Lamar Odom, a guy that's big and, you know, can stay with him, move his feet, they can definitely wear down James. So I really like the Lakers if that series were to happen. But then again, I don't even know if the Cavs make it to the finals, even though they're, you know, I'd expect them to, and they're a very good team. You know, they looked like a dominant team last year and then came along with the Orlando Magic. So regular season success for the Cavs has not always panned out to playoff success. And I don't think this trade is enough to push them over the top of the Los Angeles Lakers.
First off, I think a lot of people have to cut the Cavs a break for what happened last year. Sometimes it's all about matchups. You know, it's all about matchups sometimes. And they just didn't match up well with the Magic. We saw the year the Mavs were the number one seed and they collapsed against the Warriors. Sometimes it's about matchups. But that was really the first big year that Cleveland had, the year that they really arrived, you know. Like, yeah, they had their run against the Spurs, but they weren't supposed to be there that year. But last year, you know, they slipped up. The Magic beat them. The Magic aren't the same team. The Magic probably aren't as good as they were last year just because Hedo Turkoglu was on that team and he was such a catalyst for that team. And Boston just looks old and slow. So I think Cleveland has been hands down the best team in the Eastern Conference all year. And I'll remind you that Cleveland has actually beaten LA twice without Antoine Jameson. They match up with them very well. So they tried to throw Artest and whoever the other guys you talk about, Kobe Bryant and everybody. Yeah, like we all know how good the Lakers are, but it didn't work because Cleveland went into LA. They won that game. They won in Cleveland. So Cleveland's 2-0 already against LA. But I want to talk about the Antoine Jameson trade and what this does for Cleveland. First off, not only do they get a supreme talent in Antoine Jameson, you know, he's toward the end of his career, but he can still score 15, 20 points on any given night. Number one, that gives him another perimeter scorer, and that's what they really needed, a guy that LeBron can kick it out to, a guy that can really step up and knock down threes. They really needed something like that. I don't think Antoine Jameson is going to be the type of guy to just take over a game. He's not that player anymore, but that's what Cleveland needs, that perimeter presence. Number two, it just gives Cleveland another scoring option because it gives them a chance to rest LeBron James. He's playing all the time. He can't play 48 minutes a game. They have somebody else to take the load off of LeBron's shoulders. Number three, it gives him a great defender as well. Antoine Jameson can play defense. Maybe not at Ron Artest level, but Jameson can play defense. He's got reach.
Sometimes.
You know, he can make plays. He can make plays. And last but not least, Jameson is a veteran, and he's hungry, and he wants this. He's been in the playoffs a lot of times, but he's never gone to the NBA Finals. And he wants this probably as much as anybody. This is his chance. This is his chance to step up to the big stage and really make a name for himself in the NBA because he really never got that opportunity. He always playing on the Warriors and the Washington Wizards. Here's his chance. That's why Jameson's here. Jameson is supposed to be the final piece of the puzzle to take him to the promised land. We'll see if Antoine Jameson can do it. But I definitely think this acquisition means so much for the Cavs. I don't need to talk about everyone else on that team. We already know how good Cleveland is. But Antoine Jameson just may put them over the hurdle.
I mean, you want to talk about a guy who's hungry. Kobe Bryant is as insatiable as it gets. It doesn't matter how many rings the guy already has. He is still the hungriest player in the league. All you have to do
How do you measure that? You can't measure hunger.
Measure it by one photograph, and that was that face he had last year in the NBA Finals, that teeth-gritting, scary, just assassin-like face that Kobe Bryant has. I think this guy knows exactly what it takes to get it done in the biggest moments. He has a flair for the dramatic. He knows how to win, and a little thing like this Antoine Jameson trade is not going to stop Kobe Bryant from getting his fifth NBA championship ring.
I think Cleveland's been better all year, and they beat LA twice, but we'll see.
Regular season, my friend. Let's move on, though, because college basketball is starting to really heat up. We're almost there into championship week and then into March Madness. Not quite yet, but Milan, we'd like to revisit the discussion about the best team in college basketball, because we did touch on our Final Four predictions earlier in the year. Some of them have kind of panned out, but Milan, who do you think is the strongest team in the nation right now?
I remember when I picked my Final Four, I picked Purdue to win the national championship. I picked them to beat Texas. Texas actually hasn't been as good, but Purdue's been as good as advertised. They're going to probably win the Big Ten right now. They're tied for first place with Michigan State. The only problem is Robbie Hummel got hurt, but when Robbie Hummel gets back, you look at the team that they have, and they're the most balanced team, I feel, in the country because they have the veteran leadership. They have Chris Kramer, Robbie Hummel, Etuan Moore, Juwan Jackson. They have the talent. They can do it inside. They can do it outside, and they just have so many weapons, you know. The thing about a team like Kansas, let's say, or a team like Kentucky, they have one go-to guy at the end of the game to go to get it done in the fourth quarter or in the second half in college basketball. But for Purdue, they have three different guys that they can go to. It's a three-headed monster, and that's something that very few teams actually present. With Etuan Moore, on the outside, he's dangerous, he's lethal from three-point range. Robbie Hummel's a guy that can do it inside, he can do it outside. Juwan Jackson. I also think that Purdue plays in maybe the most competitive conference in the country, in the Big Ten. You look at the other teams up there, Michigan State, Wisconsin, Illinois, so many good teams in that conference, and Purdue is probably going to come out the best. I mean, I forgot to say Ohio State, who's also looking really good. But a lot of really good teams in that conference, three top 10 teams actually, and Purdue is the best team out of that bunch, and maybe the best out of the best conference. So that's why I'd go with Purdue.
You know, you're being a little stubborn here with your Purdue pick. You said them all along. I'm going to be stubborn as well. I'm going to stay with Kansas, and I don't see any reason not to. I'm aware that Syracuse has moved into the number one ranking as a 28-2 team. Kansas has the same exact record, and I still think they're the most talented team in the nation. If you had any doubts about Kansas, look no further than what they just did to Kansas State.
Kansas be the most talented team in the country?
A 17-point,
no question,
17-point beatdown on Kansas State as they took command of the Big 12 title. I mean, how are they not the most talented team? Look at who they have, though.
They're not.
I'm talking about guys who are ready to perform right now, who are talented on the NCAA level. Sharon Collins is your go-to guy. You don't have to look any further than what he did against Cornell, breaking the entire team's ankles and routine.
Yeah, against an Ivy League team.
A clutch three-point. Yeah. Whoa, let's not insult our own team. They're a pretty formidable opponent. Look no further also than Cole Aldrich, who also, I mean, really a great defensive anchor. Our very own Jeff Foote played him well, but more times than not, Aldrich will dominate opponents. Xavier Henry, another force, averaging up over 14 a game. I think Kansas is the type of team that even in a game like the Cornell one, where they take their best punch from their opponent, they're good enough to will themselves to victory. So I think Kansas is going to go deep in the tournament, and the Kansas State win only validates this prediction.
And the Kansas State win is just one win. I mean, Purdue...
Number five team in the nation.
It's Purdue crushed win. West Virginia. West Virginia is a top 10 team. Purdue's beaten Ohio State. They've beaten Michigan State. Purdue's beaten better teams this year. That's why I like Purdue. They've played a tougher schedule. They play in a tougher conference. Kansas beat Kansas State, but Kansas State is probably their only competition in that whole Big 12. The Big 12 has been really disappointing. A team like Texas, a team that I thought would make it deep into the NCAA tournament, they're probably not going to be there. The Big 12 has been really disappointing. It would be hard to knock Kansas because they have a great team, and I think they will be there at the end of the year.
Exactly.
But I still think that Purdue is the most balanced team from top to bottom. And to say that Kansas is the most talented team in the country is just a joke. I want to debunk that.
28-2, I'm sticking with my team. Anyways, that's all we got now for Cornell Cast. But if you'd like to see the next three topics, we've got a whole lot more sports to cover with you. Go to slopemedia.org. And Milan, let's keep on rolling.